On Uva's side of the track, it's empty, but for three overdimensioned municipal employees in their mid-30s in workman's trousers and hard hats, standing in a ring and staring down into a hole. Around them is a carelessly erected loop of cordon tape. One of them has a mug of coffee from 7-Eleven. Another is eating a banana. The third is trying to poke his cell phone without removing his gloves. It's not going so well. And the hole stays where it is, and still we're surprised when the whole world comes crashing down in a financial crisis, Uva thinks. When people do little more than standing around eating bananas and looking into holes in the ground all day. He checks his watch. 1 minute left. He stands at the edge of the platform, balancing the soles of his shoes over the edge. It's a fall of no more than 5 feet, he estimates, 5.5 possibly. There's a certain symbolism in a train taking his life, and he doesn't like this much. He doesn't think the train driver should have to see the awfulness of it. For this reason, he has decided to jump when the train is very close, so it's rather the side of the first carriage that throws him onto the rails, than the big windshield at the front. He looks in the direction the train is coming from and slowly starts counting. It's important that the timing is absolutely right, he determines. The sun is just up. It shines obstinately into his eyes like a child who has just been given a flashlight. And that's when he hears the first scream. Uva looks up just in time to see the suit-wearing man in his black overcoat starting to sway back and forth like a panda that's been given a Valium overdose. It continues for a second or so. Then the suit-wearing man looks up blindly and his whole body is struck with some form of nervous twitching. His arms shake convulsively. And then, as if the moment is a long sequence of still photographs, the newspaper falls out of his hands and he passes out, falling off the edge onto the track with a thump, as if he were a sack of cement mixture. The chain-smoking old girls with the county council logos on their breasts start shrieking in panic. The drug-taking youths stare at the track, their hands enmeshed in their backpack straps as if fearing they might otherwise fall over. Uva stands on the edge of the platform on the other side and looks with irritation from one to the other. For Christ's sake, fumes Uva to himself at long last as he jumps down onto the track. Grab a hold here, will you? He calls out to one of the backpackers on the platform. The stultified youth drags himself slowly to the edge. Uva hoists up the suit-wearing man in a way that men who have never put their foot in a gym yet have spent their entire lives carrying a concrete plinth under each arm tend to be able to do. He heaves up the body into the backpacker's arms in a way that Audi-driving men wearing neon-bright jogging pants are often incapable of doing. He can't stay here in the path of the train, you get that, don't you? The backpackers nod in confusion and finally, by their collective efforts, manage to drag the suit-wearing body onto the platform. The county councilwomen are still screaming as if they sincerely believe this is a constructive approach under the circumstances. The man appears to be breathing, but Uva stays down there on the track. He hears the train coming. It's not quite the way he planned it, but it'll have to do. Then he calmly goes into the middle of the track, puts his hands in his pockets, and stares into the headlights. He hears the warning whistle like a foghorn, feels the track shaking powerfully under his feet, as if a testosterone-fueled bull were trying to charge him. He breathes out. In the midst of that inferno of shaking and yelling and the chilling scream of the train's brakes, he feels a deep relief. At last. To Uva, the moments that follow are elongated as if time itself has applied its brakes and made everything around him travel in slow motion. The explosion of sounds is muted into a low hiss in his ears. The train approaching so slowly that it's as if it's being pulled along by two decrepit oxen. The headlights flash despairingly at him. And in the interval between two of the flashes, while he isn't blinded, he finds himself establishing eye contact with the train driver. He can't be more than 20 years old. One of those who still gets called the puppy by his older colleagues. Uva stares into the puppy's face. Clenches his fists in his pockets as if he's cursing himself for what he's about to do. But it can't be helped, he thinks. There's a right way of doing things and a wrong way.